And the title of what I'm going to speak on today is, I Believe When It's Hard to Believe. I Believe When It's Hard to Believe. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that your grace would cover me. Help me to articulate what you would like for me to articulate during this moment, Lord Jesus, and ask for your grace and ask for your anointing to be upon us as we pray, as we continue on with the worship and as we continue on with the word this morning. Amen. Sometimes things happen in life that you don't really prepare for. And sometimes it's not always easy to believe in God or to believe in the sense of trusting Him. Or believe in the sense of, I can count on God to be there for me. And so there's everybody, I don't know if anybody doesn't have a moment in life when it's hard to believe. Me and Catherine, for many of you who don't know much about our history, because there's so many people here who are new here, me and Catherine went through a moment where it was very difficult for me to believe anymore. My second child died. He was 23 months old, almost 2 years old. He died of a horrible disease. We had to walk through that with him. And the pain that we went through as a result of that made it hard to believe. And so when I go through this today and I share some things from the Word, I don't want you to know that I'm coming from somebody who's been there, done that, and has survived. So I'm not just speaking theory to you or what I hope to be true. I'm preaching what I know to be true, what I have lived it and felt it. When that happened to us, it so shocked me because I was a man of faith that it radically messed up my faith in many ways. I had to start over in my faith. The only thing I did not question when that happened, it's been about 15 years ago now. Sometimes it feels like it was another lifetime. Sometimes it feels like it was yesterday, depending on the mood that I'm in at that moment and what the Holy Spirit's doing in my life. But even though it's 15 years ago, I look back and I'm amazed at God's goodness. I sort of lost my train of thought. Where was I?
One thing you didn't question.
One thing I didn't question. Thank you, Blake. Somebody's paying attention in here to help me out. He's taking notes. Thank you, Blake. That's why we're the college pastor. Anyway, I didn't question the resurrection of Jesus. I didn't question the incarnation of God into man, because I knew that that was true. Now, 15 years later, I am more convinced than ever that that is true. The more I seek after God, the more I know that it's true. Both intellectually and emotionally and spiritually, I know that I know that I know. So that wasn't one thing that I questioned, but everything else to do with God's nature, I questioned. Did He love me? Did He care for me? Why would He let this happen to me? Why? What does faith mean? What does it mean to have faith? You know, I thought God was going to answer all my prayers. I thought life was going to be, you know, you come into life with this idealism of what's going to happen in your life. You come in with this idealism, and I did the same. I went to college. I went to high school, went to college, and had this framework of what I thought my life was going to look like. The idealistic view of how things were going to be. You know, I was going to get married and have, you know, this and have, make all this money and have this and have that. I look back now, one of my goals was to believe God to marry a pretty brunette. I got that part right. I mean, that part came through for me. And she's in the back today teaching, so I can say that in front of everybody. But, you know, that part worked out for me good. But, you know, God gave me some little, I didn't think I was going to be in the ministry. That was not a part of the plan. Many of you probably have had those kind of situations. So for me, going through that kind of pain and that kind of suffering, that kind of grief, you know, you look back and you're just like, what was that all about? And it makes it difficult to believe. It makes it difficult to believe. The only reason that I am standing up here today is, number one, because of Jesus. Number two, because of my wife, Catherine. That woman had more faith than I did. She blew my mind. I mean, we're at the funeral, people crying, come up here. She's ministering to people at the funeral. I'm sitting over there by myself, can hardly talk. Don't talk to me, just give me a hug and move on. You know, that was me. You know, I'm the guy who goes off in the cave and suffers alone. You know, people calling her up crying, and she's preaching to them on the phone, Jesus is still good. Jesus is still there. I mean, that woman, she has faith that I did not have. So behind that Sweet Southern Belle exterior. There's a woman of faith down in there. I tell you right now, she's strong. And she did not let me stay in my pit of despair. She grabbed me and said, "No, Eddie, you're going to fulfill the call of God," because I didn't know if I was coming back. Now, some of y'all who were here are aware of that, especially Pastor Mike and others. I didn't know if I didn't want to come back to the ministry after that. I was saying, "I believe you rose from the dead," but that's it. But God had to take me through a time. So, but Jesus and my wife, she, like I said, she wouldn't let me stay in that pit that I was in of despair and pain. She wouldn't let me stay there. She dragged me up. She's amazing. I didn't have her faith. I hope I got a little bit of her faith now. But I say all that to say this, that I know what it's like to have a hard time believing. So when I say I believe when I don't understand, or if I believe when it's hard to believe, I've lived that. And I've lived that. And I think all of us can probably point to something in their life and say, "I don't understand this." Let's say you're a teenager in here today. Let's say we've all had this moment. Let's say you're a teenager and you're just thinking, you know, "I'm going through, you know, I got problems with my friendships. I got problems in school. I got problems with my parents. I got things happening." You go to a conference and you get touched by God and everything's high. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, "Is God really real? Because things aren't working out. He didn't turn out to be the Santa Claus that I thought he was going to be." And so it's easy for us just to move aside and be a little fickle sometimes when it comes to that. Maybe you're a college student today and you're having to figure out, "Oh no, I got college debt. Am I going to be able to get a job when I get out?" The reality of life starts to hit you. And you start maybe struggling in a class that you've got to have for that major. Right. And maybe there's some family issues and financial pressures that you're feeling. But it's hard to believe, isn't it? If we're all on a mountain somewhere, and we're on a mountain and everything is great, then it's hard. It's easy to believe when it's easy to believe. But how is it when it's hard to believe? Right. Let's say you're a parent, you've got children, and you're trying to raise them right. And the pressures that you're feeling and jobs and mortgage, you got a mortgage now, oh no. I got a car payment, I got a job I got to do, I got children I'm trying to raise. And I'm trying to raise them right to serve after God, but there's so many pressures. That's a pressure. And then when you have a bad week or you have a bad moment in your marriage, it's hard to believe. Yeah. It's hard to have faith in God when things are struggling. Let's say you're a little bit older, more mature. Or let's say you're a young professional. You're out of college. You don't have children. You're in children. This pressure of maybe the job isn't working out for you like you thought. Maybe the relationship hadn't come through for you yet. Right. Maybe there's pressures that you're seeing and feeling. The job didn't turn out as what I wanted. It's not my dream job. I'm having to start out making peanuts when I should be making gold. You know, at least you're willing to work. Let's put it that way. So you may have that. Or maybe you're a little bit older and you're at the halftime point in your life. And you're looking at the future. Where is this going? Where is it taking me? Maybe you're even on the other side of that and you're wondering about retirement. Do I have enough money to retire on? Am I going to be able to keep my house going? Am I going to get it paid off? How are my children doing? My children are struggling. I have been told by people who have grown children that no matter how old they are, they're still your children. And when they have hard times, you still feel it when they're going through stuff. And so you may be in that point of retirement and you're just wondering about the future and it's stressful and it brings some anxiety. Those are the moments where we have to learn how to believe when it's hard to believe. So invariably the question comes up, how do you believe when it's hard to believe? That's the question. How do you believe when it's hard to believe? Another question invariably comes in that is, does God really care about all these issues in my life? Does God really care about what I'm going through? There's the questions that come to mind. Now, the answer to that question is I believe that when a person gets their mind and their attitude in line with the scriptures and with the verses, then that gives you the ability to believe when it's hard to believe. If we don't know the nature of God, if we don't understand what the Word says, and invariably another question comes, what does the Bible have to say about that? So what I'm going to do is take a few minutes and go through some passages of Scripture that I want to it's going to be challenging for us, because for us to do this, for us to believe when it's hard to believe, we've got to have the Word of God seasoned in our mind and in our hearts. And we got to have the right attitude in order to overcome and to believe when it's hard to believe. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 8 if you have your Bible. Now, this verse is very familiar to many of us, but there are some very significant things that the Bible tells us when it comes to this area. I believe it really, really speaks to this. And it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. So these whom He predestined, He also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and these whom He justified, He also glorified." So God causes all things to work together for good. Now, that is a hard statement to me. You know, it's hard for me to look back 15 years ago and say, what was good? What good came out of that? Right. And for many years, it took me a while to really see the goodness of that, how God can turn things around. But it says God causes all things to work together for good. Now, if God's not involved in it, believe me, not everything works together for good. Right. It's God causes. And it says, and let me just point out, those who love God, and those who are called according to His purpose. So if you love God and you're living the life of a Christian, you're living for Jesus, then He will cause all things to work together for good. Even if it's just in a sense of your testimony to somewhere else, somebody else, that you survived something. You know, the fact that that God used it in a situation. And it's very difficult when you look at some of the horrible things that happen to people and all the horrible things that's happening in this world. But God can turn around evil, and He can turn it around, and He can make it good. That all things work together for good. When I look back on my own life, I look back now and I say, I am a better man because my son lived. I am a better man because of what I went through back then. I am a better person because of it, because I began to be able to empathize with other people's struggles. I began to understand more when people were in hurting and in pain. I began to understand more about what Jesus went through, what God felt when His Son died on the cross. When you go through stuff, so I can say I'm a better man because of it. Now, I wish God had done it a different way.
Right.
But I'm happy. Thank God that He basically rebuilt me. Right. And restored me to the point that I can stand up and unashamedly say that God is good. I can unashamedly say that He loves me. He cares for me. My son is better. He's in a better place. And I don't mean that coy. I mean, he is in heaven eternity. And I'm looking forward to the day that I can go to live in eternity. Amen. We got to live life with a look. I'm not saying we got to live like we're no earthly good. But sometimes we got to live with an eternal perspective in our lives. That everything you're suffering now doesn't mean it's going to be that way forever.
Amen.
Because God never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a trial. I'm not saying God put it on you, but He never wastes a hurt. He never wastes it. He'll do what He wants to do in your life. The next point I want to make here is, so we know that God causes all things to work together for good. The next part of this says that God is for me. Verse 31, "For what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who is to bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is He who died, yes, rather was raised. Who is at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us?" So we're talking about a God who loved us so much. He says he's for me. Man, when things are tight and things are tough, you need to look at it. All things work together for good, and God's for me. Who can be against me? God is on my side. God is for me. Stand in faith and believe when it's hard to believe. God doesn't always just, he's not just Santa Claus or your genie in the bottle. We got to believe God when things are happening. But the scriptures tell us God is for us. He's not against us. Woe is the person who attacks us, because my Father is there with me. My Son of God, who did not spare his own Son, he's not holding back on us. He's there all about it. He's there about being there with us. And thirdly, I believe when it's hard to believe, because there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Let me just read this passage to you. Starting in verse 35, it says, Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Let me read that again. Did you catch that? For we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ Jesus our Lord. I have a video I want you to see, a clip from a movie that really illustrates this aspect of God being there even when you're going through a struggle. Go ahead. This is Ray.
Help!
Ray Charles.
Mama! Mama, help! Mama, help! Mama, help, please! I need you! Mama!
I hear you too, Mama. You're right there.
Yes, I am.
Why are you crying, Mama?
because I'm happy.
That's from the Ray Charles movie. And you notice there that his mother knew that she had to give him some room and that she couldn't just rush to him at that moment, because she knew for him to be able to grow in himself and as a Christian grow in our faith, she knew she had to give him some room to hear and figure it out and to get a hold of his life at that moment. But she was always standing right there. And if it got too much for him to handle, boy, she would jump in a second. Remember when he went to the fireplace, she almost went there, but she said, no, I gotta back out some here. I believe God is that way with us. I believe that, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But sometimes he doesn't just immediately rescue us from everything that we're going through. There was many times I stood there and say, where are you, God? Where are you in the midst of this? I was so angry with Jesus. I was angry with God after this happened to us. I didn't even read my Bible for 2 weeks. You say, well, Eddie, I don't read my Bible for 2 weeks anyway. But anyway, that's beside the point. But for me, I have a lot of disciplines that I don't have, but reading the Bible is something that I always have done. That's just one area that I've always been on. For me not to read my Bible for 2 weeks, I read my Bible almost every day, even now. Maybe sometimes Saturday or Monday I may not, but I read my Bible. Yeah. And so for me not to do that was sort of like shaking my fist at God like that. But I had to learn that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Just like Ray's mama wasn't going to leave him there, but she had to give him some room. You know, we don't grow in faith by everything being perfect all the time.
That's right.
You know, we don't grow in faith. I've never had serious sickness that put me in the hospital. I know there's many here that have and are going through that. And I don't understand why some things happen, but I know from personal experience, and as I read this word, that all things work together for good. That God is for me, who can be against me? And nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. No tribulation, no trial. That's what the word says.
Right.
That's what the Bible says to us. Now, many of you probably are thinking, yeah, Eddie, that sounds good, but I didn't plan on this. I had this ideal thing in my life about what I thought it was going to look like. But just because things are taking a different turn for you doesn't mean you're not on God's path to where he's taking you. I have another quote I want to read as we're getting close to the end here. I want to read this quote to you. I think it really would be helpful to get a picture of where things are for you. Just because something isn't part of your life plan doesn't mean it's not a part of your destiny. Without me knowing it, God has been fulfilling his call on my life. My job is to obey God with a keyboard, with a pulpit. God takes it from there. And the same is true for you. God is working his plan whether you know it or not. And God will get all the glory. God is working his good, pleasing, and perfect plan for your life in 1,000 ways you aren't even aware of. I believe when I don't understand. Everything in your past is preparation for something in your future. Did you get that? God wastes nothing. Even when you have a setback, God has already prepared your comeback. God, who knows all things, who works all things together for good, will leverage every experience, every skill, every mistake, and every bit of knowledge you have acquired. So even if you've had tough times in life, God will use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of God in your life. Philippians 1 says, "For I am confident of this thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." I believe when it's hard to believe, because I know that God causes all things to work together. I know that he is for me. He is not against me. Who can come against me? But Jesus Christ is there as my anchor. I believe when it's hard to believe, because nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. That's why I believe when it's hard to believe. Can you imagine if we all grabbed a hold of this attitude? How much of a witness in our community we could be? When people see us struggling and going through, look, we live in a fallen world. Bad things are going to happen. You're going to get sick sometimes. You might have some financial stress sometimes. You're going to have some things that go on in life. But if we can be a witness to the community of people, this is how we apply these truths, what I've shared. We apply this by having this attitude within us that as we're out witnessing and sharing our faith, that people can look at us and go, wow, you've really been through some stuff. But I see God. I see the grace on your life. I see faith in your life. I see hope in your life. I need some of what you got. Because if I just went through what you went through, I'd be crushed. I'd be dead. I couldn't handle that. So just having that right attitude, having a mentality, saying and a faith that I'm going to believe when it's hard to believe. We do that. I just believe we can continue to impact this city and impact this world, that we're not perfect. We have struggles, but yet we believe a God who is good. I don't understand everything that happens, but we serve a God that is a good God and who has our interest at hand. God, let me just say this as we wrap it up. God never, let me reiterate this, never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a trial in your life. He didn't do it in my life. And I didn't even go through, I could have told you so much more than I did today of what I went through. But I can tell you today, I survived by the grace of God and my wife. That I'm saying, and I know that we all together can walk through what we have to walk through and get to the other side. He never wastes a hurt. And what the devil meant for evil. Yeah, right. So I'm going to put the devil in here now. Let me tell you something. He's the culprit of all this. God didn't put all this stuff on us, but God does allow this stuff to happen to us sometimes, and I believe it's to grow our faith. But what the devil meant for evil, Jesus can turn it around and make it for good. He can turn it around. God can turn around what the devil meant for evil and preach his gospel to the city, to around the world. So no matter where you find you're at, wherever you fit into this, wherever you're at in this in your life, keep in mind, if you walk out of here with one thing today, I'm going to believe when it's hard to believe. I want you to walk out with that. Can we say that together? I'm going to believe when it's hard to believe. So let me just pray for everyone this morning as we wrap it up. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would all give us the faith to believe when it's hard to believe. Give us the hope to believe when it's hard to believe. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are so ever-present with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you cause all things to work together for good, even when it's hard to see it right now. Lord, thank you that you're for us, even if it doesn't feel like it at times. Thank you, Jesus, that your love, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, even though we may not feel very loved at that moment. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you're a good God and that you're the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead to give us hope in this life. Help us to have a correct view of life. Maybe even have to adjust some of our thoughts about the idealism that we think about in our future, Lord, to get in line with your word, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you're not just our Santa Claus. You're not a Santa Claus to us, Lord, or a genie in a bottle, but you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and you know what works for us. You know what we need. You know the life that we're living. You know the struggles that we have, whether it be financial, whether it be marriage, whether it be with our children, whatever it may be, the physical struggles that we're having, emotional struggles. We know that you're a God who did not spare his own son, but freely gave to us. And we are so grateful for that. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're in here today and you say, Eddie, I just want to say, God, I need you today. Of course, all of us could say that. But Say, Jesus, I've had wounded faith. I haven't been believing and trusting. And I just need a shot in the arm, as we would say, of just hope. Would you raise your hand? I'm just going to pray for you if that's you. Thank you, Jesus. I see people all over the place. Thank you, Lord. These folks have their hands that are raised. You can put your hands down. Those folks who raise their hand, God, in this moment I pray that you would reveal yourself to them the way you revealed yourself to me. I didn't think I was going to make it. You revealed yourself to me. God, I pray those people there, you would reveal yourself to them. Now I ask you, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to them, Jesus. Let them know your love and your compassion. Let them know what I'm talking about today. Let them experience it for themselves, God. I thank you, God, for your grace. I thank you for your touch on the day, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for your